Good evening, everyone, and thank all of you for being here this evening. It is so good to have Bill back with us, and I kind of know what he's going through because I had a touch that's rough, Bill. I know what you're going through. I'm glad you're here. Debbie, we're so glad to have you here to visit with us. And Susan, of course, is our permanent visitor, as we call her. And we're always glad to see Susan and Joe when Joe's not working. He's usually with her. And again, we're glad to see everybody here, and we thank you all for coming. So this evening, I'm going to bring you another lesson on the man-made religious holiday known as Christmas, and hope you will see that the human error in claiming that December the 25th is a biblical holiday, or holy day. The title of this evening's lesson is Away from the Manger. So please open your Bibles, as I always ask you to. Open your Bibles, follow along with me. And if you have any questions that you'd like to ask after our services, feel free to come and talk to me or any of the men here, and we'll be glad to answer any questions you might have. As always, the Bible will be our guide and not some man-made creeds. So please don't take my word. Don't take any man's word, only the Word of God, the Bible. Let's now talk about Christmas, or away from the manger. Now, it's that time of year again. The air has become crisp and cold. The days are shorter. All the leaves have fallen, and the city streets are lighted with multicolored lights. The shopping malls have been jammed with people. The airports are very crowded, and the highways are filled with people traveling to their homes. Drive past almost any denominational church building, and you will see a nativity scene out front. Some even have live characters and live animals in them. And if there's not a nativity scene, you can be almost certain there will be some sort of Christmas message on their sign or in their yard. Over and over, you will hear preachers and others decrying the fact that Christ has been left out of Christmas. Inevitably, you will see stories of the news in which little children will tell us that Christmas is the birthday of baby Jesus. We will see hundreds of images of Mary holding the infant baby so close to her breast, or the peaceful baby lying in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And by the way, a large part of the religious world refers to Mary as the Mother of God. And brethren and friends, I want you to understand one thing. Mary had nothing whatsoever to do with the divinity of Jesus. He was both God and man, and it was solely of the fleshly part that involved Mary, which was conceived in her, which is of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 1:20 tells us. But this is the time of year when the religious world in general makes a united effort to commemorate the birth of the Lord. Let me say at this time, the word Christmas appears nowhere in the New Testament. Let me also say the Bible does not give the date, the month, or the year of our Lord's birth, and it is impossible to determine the exact date of His birth from the evidence of the Gospels or from any secular history or from any sound tradition. Let me also say that the Bible gives no indication whatsoever that the first century church ever celebrated the birth of our Lord as a special religious day. Those who celebrate Christmas as a religious holiday do so solely on the basis of man's authority and not God's. The religious celebration of Christmas cannot be done by faith, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, according to Romans 10:17. And the Word of God nowhere, and I repeat, the Word of God nowhere mentions the celebration of Christmas. But let's face it, the religious world is at this time bowing before the manger of Jesus. People are enamored by that little baby. Now, there is something inherent within us that draws us to an infant. You see, an infant is small and helpless, totally non-threatening. An infant doesn't tell us what to do or what not to do. An infant does not rebuke or demand obedience. Who doesn't love a small, wiggling, laughing, and cooing baby? or who hasn't felt their heart melt at the sight of or even the thought of an infant all warm and snugly wrapped in a blanket, peacefully sleeping? But my friends, it is way past time for the religious world and the world in general to get away from the manger to remember that Jesus grew up. Oh, sure, lots of people want to jump forward and go right to his resurrection, to the celebration of another man-made holiday, religious holiday, Easter. But they forget practically all that the man Jesus taught and demanded during his 3 years of adult public ministry. Everybody wants to praise the baby Jesus, but most people, even the religious-minded people, don't want to obey the adult Jesus. So let's get away from the manger to the adult years. Turn your Bibles to Matthew, the 7th chapter with me, please. First, let's get away to the manger, to the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. So yes, my friends, Jesus grew up. He became a man and he taught us how to live. And in teaching us how to live, he taught us there's only one way to heaven. And he taught that most people are not going to find it. In Matthew chapter 7, read with me verses 13 and 14. And this is our Lord Jesus speaking. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Jesus said, "Enter ye at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And few there be that find it. He taught that most people will not go to heaven. How sad. How sad that is. Yes, my friends, the adult Jesus taught that there is but one body, and that one body is the church. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. Ephesians chapter 4. We are told in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says there is one body, that's the church, and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 and 23 tells us that body is the church that Jesus built, the church that Jesus built and the church that he died for. Now some very religious people, indeed those who are currently bowing before the manger of the baby Jesus, are denying the very things that the adult Jesus taught us by saying that there are many roads that go to heaven, and they're encouraging you to choose the road that most appeals to you. And after all, they say, we're all going to heaven just taking different routes to getting there. That is not what Jesus says. That is not what he says. That's not what he said when we just read it in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. They say, choose the church of your choice. That's the modern call of the ecumenicist. But let me tell you something, my dear friends. If you want to get to heaven, you must choose the church that the adult Jesus built, his church. Indeed, the adult Jesus taught that there would be many religious people, pious-looking people, and pious-sounding people who would not make it because they practice unauthorized things in the name of religion, unauthorized by Christ, thereby operating in the realm of iniquity. Again, from Matthew the 7th chapter, let's go back and look at that. Matthew chapter 7, when you get back there. We're going to look at verses 21 through 23. Now, we frequently read these verses. However, I've always said I believe that if these verses were understood and believed by the world, there would not be any denominations, only the church that Jesus built, his church, the church of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, he said, remember now, this is our Lord Jesus speaking. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful things? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What's Jesus saying here, brethren and friends? Well, I'll tell you what he's saying. He is saying not to do anything religiously without his authority. And that, my friends, includes all denominations. But why? Because all denominations were started without his authority by mere man. My friends, let's get away from the manger to the scene in the temple during the adult years of our Lord Jesus. The Jews in the day of Jesus had made the temple a place of merchandise for their personal profit, and in doing so had instituted all sorts of unauthorized practices. On one memorial occasion, our Lord walked into the temple, and let's turn to John chapter 2, if you would with me. And we'll pick up reading in verse 13. John 2. John 2. Let's see what happened when Jesus walked into that temple, beginning in verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. Oh yes, my friends, the baby Jesus grew up. He displayed his righteous anger and contempt towards those who had cheapened their worship and made it of no effect. Everywhere you go today, churches are begging for more money, and to get the money they promote every gag, every game, every gimmick they can think of to draw people in. They push and they promote their athletic teams, their youth rallies, their busing programs, and their fellowship halls, as if to say that the life and the work and the teaching of the adult Jesus is not enough to draw people. How blasphemous that is. Make it big, make it modern, make it fancy, make it fun. Give the people what they want. Well, what about what the adult Jesus wanted? Now let's get a little farther away from the manger and look at Jesus as he rebuked the Pharisees for their hypocrisy. Now we know an infant can rebuke no one, but the adult Jesus did. He told the religious leaders of that day that they were inconsistent. He said they were hypocrites and did so to their faces in Matthew the 23rd chapter. Turn over with me, please. Matthew chapter 23. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Matthew 23, verse 1, and we'll read all the way down through verse 12. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. And therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay on them men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move with them one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogue, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Now listen to what he says, beginning in verse 9. He says, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Thus the adult Jesus, he condemned the wearing of religious titles that tend to elevate and exalt mere men. But isn't it ironic? Isn't it ironic that this time of year, that so many of the very ones who at this time of the year are promoting Christmas as a religious holy day, so many of the very ones who are leading people to bow before the manger of the infant Jesus do so while calling themselves reverend, right reverend, pastor, father, whatever. The very thing that Jesus just did condemn right in Matthew 23 verses 7 through 9 that we just read. It'd be a fine thing if we could get people away from the manger and nearer to the teaching of the adult Jesus. Now let's go to Matthew the 17th chapter, the Sermon on the Mount. Now, like I said, we need to get away from the manger to the sermon to the Mount of Transfiguration. It was on this occasion that God's voice thundered from heaven and said in verse 5, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Brethren and friends, did you know that three times a voice from heaven proclaims in the presence of men God's recognition of Jesus as his Son? Look at quickly at Matthew 3 and verse 17. "And a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" Second, Matthew 17, 5 that we just read, and then turn to John 12, 28. "Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The Father spoke from heaven in the presence of men that Jesus was his beloved Son, and we are to obey him if we want to get to heaven. But my friends, a baby Jesus grew up and he became a man. A man we must acknowledge as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. A man before whom we must bow in humble submission, doing what he says and not what man says. We need to move away from the manger to the Mount of Transfiguration, to the obedient faith in Jesus, to a total commitment to his word and his authority. It was the adult Jesus, my Lord, who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16, 16. You can understand that. I can understand that, but truly most of the religious world won't even submit to this teaching of the adult Jesus. And finally, let us get away from the manger to the cross of Calvary. This same infant that was born and laid in a manger grew up and was rejected by his own people. He was betrayed by one of his chosen 12 and he was denied by a personal friend. He was seized and he was tried illegally until a frantic mob demanded that he be crucified. He was mocked, he was belittled, he was ridiculed, spit upon, he was reviled, and he was nailed to a cross. But his death was not in vain. Through his death, the old law was removed. It was fulfilled, according to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. His blood was shed to redeem men from their sins, Ephesians 1:7. And with his blood he purchased the one true church. We read about that in Acts 20 and verse 28. Now look at Hebrews the 5th chapter with me. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, that little baby in the manger grew up and became the author of eternal salvation and do all those that obey him. Hebrews 5 and verse 9 verifies that. The Hebrew writer says, in being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all those that obey him, brethren. That's the theme of the Bible from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation. Obedience, obedience, obedience. So what must we do? We must believe, we must repent, we must confess and be baptized for the remission of our sins. Then remain faithful, serving Him as our Lord and Master until the day that we go home to heaven to be with Him forever. While so many are bowing before the manger at this time of the year, it would be so much better, and it would be in accord with His will if people would just instead bow before His authority. Brethren and friends, that baby Jesus grew up, and we need to listen and we need to obey the adult Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Master. Let us move away from the manger and closer to Jesus. Understand now, brethren and friends, please understand this. I am so thankful that Jesus was born in this world. Oh, yes, I am. I'm thankful enough to do just what the church he founded did in the first century. Each year it's sad to see so many people ignoring true scriptural worship in favor of focusing their energies on worship that is not even prescribed in the Bible. While there is certainly nothing wrong with taking advantage of the Christmas holidays, a time to gather with loved ones, but let's be careful not to use it as an occasion to engage in vain worship that is according to the traditions of men, as Jesus spoke about in Matthew 25, verses 3 through 9. But you know what? When you think about it, it's evident that Christmas has a non-religious side to it. Most of the popular Christmas stories and movies and songs make no reference to the birth of Christ. Their message is that the celebrating time with family, engaging in the spirit of goodwill, which is a legitimate approach to this season. Now, I've heard, I don't know this for a fact, but I've heard of atheists and even Jews who place lights on their house and exchange gifts for Christmas, and we know they're certainly not celebrating the birth of Jesus. So is it possible for Christians to esteem Christmas in the same non-religious manner? May we enjoy the lights, the gifts, the parties, and close our businesses on December the 25th without celebrating that day as the birth of Jesus? I believe we can. I believe so. Now, there won't be a special Christmas service at Faithful Churches of Christ this season, like here at Prayer Village. We will meet to observe the Lord's Supper, study the Bible together, pray together, sing together, and give of our means together, just like we do the other Sundays in the year, as we are authorized to do. We will celebrate His death every first day of the week as we partake of the Lord's Supper in commemoration of His great sacrifice. He tells us to do that, and we do it. This is what we are called upon to commemorate, to celebrate, and to remember. Nothing more, nothing less. If you think that sounds like the right thing to do, then why don't you become a Christian right now? And God will add you personally to His church, the Church of Christ, the New Testament church. I beg you and I plead with you. If you're not a Christian, I beg and I plead with you to think about that this evening before you leave this building. You become a Christian by repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, because He most certainly is, and then being baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And as I've said so many times, you'll rise out of that water a new creature, born again, and on that road that leads to heaven. Then if this is the night He comes back, we'll all go home together. Won't that be wonderful? Maybe you've been an unfaithful Christian. You can take care of that too this evening. by after repenting to God, come forward and let us pray with you, and we'll pray for you. Then you too will be on that road that leads to heaven. If anyone has any questions as to the sermon this evening, please see me or any of the men after service, and we'll be glad to have a meeting with you. If we can help anyone make their life right with God, come forward now as we stand and as we sing the invitation song.